Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. No agenda today. We're just talking about a few things. We spent the first segment talking about inflation and the Antichrist monetary system and the whole purpose for that. Second segment, we went off on popularity because of a critic in the chat room. So that tells you that how much of an agenda I have is we're just discussing whatever today. If anyone wants to call in, please call in. That would be nice. And we could talk about whatever you want to talk about. Let's see here. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. This is Voyager from the chat room. I don't want to say my real name, but I've called to talk to you before.
Okay.
The one reason I'm not saying my name is because I have a question that's pertaining to you know, your travel documents and things. It's something I've been aware of for a while. I've wanted to go that way myself, and I recently discovered my my license was expired. And I'm finding it really difficult for me to go and participate in that scam again. At the same time, I'm just really conflicted about it because I know the default answer might be, well, just have faith and you trust in the Lord and accept the consequences, but I'm in debt right now. I'm just not in a financial position to fight like petty things. You know, as far as I don't know what would happen if I am I car impounded or be arrested or you know any number of things that they might choose to do if I was for some reason in an accident or pulled over for some you know even an infraction or even pulled over just because.
Yeah. What state are you in?
Kind of discuss that with you a little bit. It just really bothers me, you know, it bothers my conscience to do it, but it also bothers my conscience not to do it. I'm just putting myself under a lot of stress. So anyway, I'll just start the question with that, that's all.
Okay. What state are you in?
Indiana.
Indiana. Yeah, I don't know what the laws are in Indiana, but I do know that when your license is expired, you still have a license. It's just expired. So nothing happens.
I've been doing some homework on it and found like some legal precedents about you know, as long as you're not driving commercially, it's been upheld that you have the right to even use the modern form of transportation and the roadways.
Right.
But not every officer is going to understand that or even any judge that I have to go before. And sorry, I lost my train of thought where I was going with that. Yeah, I've just been doing some homework on it and everything, and, you know, again, I just wanted to, you've talked about it before, but I'm just bringing it up again, and...
Well, you've seen my travel document, right?
Yeah, in fact, I've got it up in front of me right now.
Yeah, that's to educate the officer, and...
I actually, since I have driven a couple days, I have printed off some things and have them in my car at the ready, I guess one of the things I found in my study of it was that some comments in different forums that if you're driving a car with plates on it, even if you don't have a license, then that stance doesn't hold up. And I don't know. I don't, and I can't afford to go talk to a lawyer about it. Right now I'm sort of on the fence, Nicholas. I guess I'm looking for some guidance on this as far as, you know, I want to do that. I just don't feel physically or financially I'm in a position to put myself in the jaws of the lion, so to speak, at this moment, at this juncture, even though I want to. And, you know, I mean, I just have a lot of conflict, and weakness is strength, I can trust in the Lord, all these things, but there's also wisdom, you know?
Yeah, well, I felt the same conflict, but I got over that conflict a long time ago myself. I don't have any problems with the police. Don't care. It's a hassle when they stop me, but it's no more of a hassle than them stopping someone who has a driver's license. So, not a problem for me.
I don't mind a hassle, and I actually would welcome an encounter where, you know, we had a peaceful exchange, and I educated them a bit. And even if I had to go before a judge, it's just I don't know how far this would play out. I know my area may be different than in Tulare.
Well, yeah, you said something about a lawyer. All lawyers are officers of the court, so their first allegiance is to the court, not you. You have to understand that.
I would tend to want to be a pro se person. I mean, I've listened and tried to study George Gordon's. I even talked about going to a school, but then unfortunately he passed on.
Yeah, the school is still there. But anyway.
But I definitely don't dismiss, you know, a lawyer's going to know more about, yeah, they may be an officer of the court, but they're still good to consult to, you know, to get information, you know.
Yeah, well, the problem, lawyers hold you back. Like I said, they represent the court first, and when you hire a lawyer, you've given up a lot of your rights because you can't say anything in the courtroom unless it's unless you get permission from the court. Your lawyer is your voice. He represents you or represents you out of his own mouth, basically.
Well, I'm talking not about a lawyer representing me in court. I'm talking about just consulting with you know, legal counsel. As far as you know, there's even services you can hire. I used to have a service called Prepaid Legal. If I had any legal question.
Oh yeah, well, it's always good to, you know, get whatever you can to have whatever information you can get if you know.
I guess I'm just calling you out of
the best thing to do is to stay out of court.
What to do?
Best thing is stay out of court.
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
That's why I have my travel document, to keep me out of court. Because it states my legal position up front. And the police usually don't want to tangle with it because it's just going to cost their department money. Because now if they have to put forth money for legal fees, lawyers and stuff, they don't want to do that. That comes out of their budget. So that's why my position is so clearly stated in my document. And, you know, I made it one page, or it's two pages double spaced in legal format, but I made it easy enough for them to read, at least to skim the whole thing and get the gist of it and realize that they'd be better off, you know, just letting this one go. And that's what they do. They let me go.
Well, let me ask you this. When you said that if your license is expired, you know, you still have a license, I found that out because I lived in another state and it had expired, and I moved back to this state and I got a license here. Then I was fined hundreds of dollars because I had licenses in two states, but I thought it had expired. So how do I go about if I...
Well, yeah, that's part of your agreement, is if you let your license expire, you'll pay fines. That's part of the license agreement.
I'm aware of that, but how do you unlicense yourself?
Take your license down and hand it in and say, I want to expunge or, you know, I want to hand in my license. I don't want to be licensed anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been thinking about that. So,
because when you go to a new state, you usually have to give them your license from your old state.
Yeah, for some reason I didn't do that or held it back for some reason. I don't know why. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I thought it was, at the time, this was you know, about 10 years ago. At the time, I thought that once it expired, is, you know, I was like not having a license.
Right.
So I didn't understand that, but now I do. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I know you can't tell me what to do, Nicholas, and I don't know that I'm even asking that. I just, you know, rolling it around with you because you walk in that, and I don't know how much traveling you do, but I have to get around a bit, you know, and we have a huge police presence here, and of course they're revenue makers, you know.
Right.
And I'm very careful. I always can't say I never go over the speed limit, but I'm very mindful of more than I ever have been in my life. I always use cruise control. I mean, I won't even do the five over thing.
Right.
I won't even do that.
Well, you know, another thing you could take is you could send them a notice with your travel papers, you know, stating your legal position, and let them know that you'll be driving in their territory territory, basically, and let them know what your stand is. And to say, if you have any questions, please contact me.
So, deliver it to, like, the local sheriff's department and the city department?
Yeah, just wherever their police are roaming. If they're roaming if you're driving in an area where they're roaming, then you can get up front with them, send them a nice letter, send them your travel document stating your position, send them a nice introductory letter saying, I'm traveling in your area and I just wanted to let you know the circumstances of my travel, so on and so forth. Please let me know if this is going to be a problem or if you have any questions.
That's a great idea. And let me ask you this, though. As far as if I'm driving a vehicle that's still registered, do I have to take the plates off to operate without the license? Or once you have if you're operating a vehicle that has that is registered, is that part of the agreement, too, that if you have a registered vehicle, you have to drive with a...
My late wife bought the vehicle and I'm driving now. And, you know, she passed away a while ago, but I'm still traveling around in it. And see, last time I got stopped in it, I didn't have plates on it. I took the plates off and I put, you know, something in place of the plates. But the police ran the VIN, you know, the whatever that number is in the windshield. And it was still in their computers and stuff. It didn't make any difference. They only wanted to know that it was, and they said, oh, well, this vehicle hasn't been registered. I mean, hasn't been, registered since 2008 or whatever it was that the last time it was, they knew all about the vehicle, what the plate number was and everything. Didn't make any difference. My papers, took precedent over anything. I mean, it doesn't matter what I'm traveling in, as long as it's not stolen and I have lawful possession of it, you know, I'm not really worried about that.
Well, in that case, having an expired tag didn't matter.
I don't think so, but having an expired tag, you might get more attention because it's expired. So it's better not to have a plate at all.
What did you put in place, if you don't mind me asking?
Let's see. It's a dealer plate, you know. It's just an advertisement for the dealer where I bought the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
It's one of their plastic things.
The dealer plate, as opposed to, you know how when you buy a vehicle, it says, you know, there's like a temporary tag that expires in 30 days. Not that. It's more like just the advertisement with their logo and everything.
Right. Yeah. This vehicle is purchased from whatever. Or, I mean, you can buy a whole bunch of different placards, you know, like you can get the Don't Tread on Me. You can get the Confederate flag, get a Christian flag, anything you want to put in there. It doesn't matter. You know, just, I keep my vehicle in top operating condition. All of my tires are good. You know, everything works on my vehicle because I don't want to be a danger to anyone on the road. I want to be like the most responsible traveler out there.
I haven't heard you speak on this, and this is a related question because it's another area I have concerns about. And years ago, I'd gotten a gun permit and things like this, and I don't remember, and I can't find it, this was many years ago, and I don't remember if it was a lifetime one or just a temporary one, but, you know, something in me it goes against my grain to have to go and ask permission. And
I don't know, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What part of that don't they understand? Anything that you have to do is an infringement.
They give them felonies and make it impossible from thereafter to ever carry again if they choose to prosecute someone for you know, they're carrying a firearm without a license.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. You can imagine. Think how many charges. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these cop shows or just reading your paper, especially people of color. You know, a black person. Let's say a 23-year-old black guy. He's got a weapon on him. He's automatically going to jail.
Well, I would talk to a lawyer in your area about that, where you travel, about what your right is to carry a firearm, how you have to do it, because I guess it could change from state to state.
So. Yeah, and it does, but it's about, you know, I don't know, I just get conflicted about it. I don't think it's right that I would have to, like, go get a
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you in an incorporated part of your state?
You mean the geographical area I live in?
Yeah, is it incorporated?
Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah. I mean, I'm in a...
Is it?
Big, I'm not in, like, one of the major cities, but I'm in a near one of the major cities in the state.
Well, are you in the town, or are you in a rural area?
Well, unfortunately, I'm in the city now.
Yeah. Well, see, you have city laws to contend with, too, as well as city police. I mean, I travel in a nearby city. That's where the last time I got stopped in the city.
Right. That's why I was asking if I should send it to the sheriff or the local, and then I guess there's even a state. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to sending it to all three, you know?
Well, you would just make three copies and, you know, send it to each one of them. But, you know, I mean, I got in an accident, let's see, last year, I think it was. Was it last? Yeah, last year or the year before. Someone rear-ended me. And I sued him and won the damages. And they kept trying to say, well, he doesn't even have a driver's license. And the judge says, well, just because someone doesn't have a driver's license doesn't mean you can hit them. I don't have insurance. They never ask me for it. I mean, either that or they forget all about it after they start talking to me.
Yeah, that's probably would happen. I mean, I can see that happening, but I do know here they ask you for your license, registration, and proof of insurance.
Well, yeah, that's what they're supposed to ask you for, because that's what they ask me for. And I just tell them I don't have any of those things, but I'll give you what I have, okay? And I wait for them to respond because I want them to agree. And then I give him my paperwork because he's agreed to accept it. And that's the thing is that's a little trick that I learned is you have to get them to agree with you. So I want them to agree to take my paperwork. That's why I tell them, well, I don't have any of those things, but I'll give you what I have, okay? And then I wait for a response. And once they say okay, then they've agreed. And I give them my paperwork.
Do you record, I mean, you carry any kind of a digital recorder or anything to record any encounters in case you need it?
Well, my smartphone can digitally record stuff, but I've never had any problem. I'm just courteous and kind, and they're courteous and kind with me, and, you know, it's just taking care of business, you know. And after they start talking to me, they don't really want nothing to do with me anymore.
Yeah, California... I've never even been there. I mean, I've been out west, but not that far, and I just don't know how... I know, like, when I'm in the south, there's a different mentality on all different kinds of levels, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
Just where I live, where I live, there's certain mentalities that I've grown accustomed to, and when you tell me that, it sounds wonderful. You know? I just know that that's not been the experience that I'm...
Well, it's not always been my experience either, because, you know, like... 15 years ago, I got stopped in Fresno by the state police, and, you know, they left me on the side of the road because they took the vehicle that I was traveling in.
Yeah, see, there's that. Because right now I wouldn't have the money to get it out of impound. I mean, that's why I'm just struggling with, geez, do I just get it so I'm not, you know, I've got other problems to deal with, you know, right now, and I can't save the world, and, you know, I'm just, I've had it all these years, and yes, I do want to get out of the system completely. But I also feel like I'd be better off in a position of strength versus right now. I'm really struggling with money, and if I was being compelled to pay fines or go, didn't have a vehicle, and then all of a sudden I've got to make court appearances and these things. It just seems like a quagmire that I pretty much brought on myself.
Yeah, well. You know, your imagination is always more difficult than the reality. Because you can imagine the worst things happening. But then if something does happen, you just have to deal with it as it comes, you know? I mean, you know, that's part of walking by faith is, You know, you make your stand. Either God wants you to make that stand or he doesn't. You know, that's it. If he does, you do it. If he doesn't, if it isn't from him, then don't do it. That's all there is to it.
And one of the conflicts I've had about that, and I agree with you, is that, you know, I used to do many things by faith years ago, whether it was praying for sickness and things like that, or thinking I heard something from the Lord, and, you know, it didn't kind of play out the way people encouraging me to be in faith about played out, you know, and it's just...
Well, let me ask you something. If you thought you got something from God and you acted on it, but later on thought you were mistaken, do you think God was paying attention?
Well, sure, he knows all things, and he
yeah.
knows me.
So he knows, even if you were, you know, mistaken about something that came from him, he knows that you thought it was from him. So he's going to judge you on the motivation of your heart, man. So I'm not saying, but it's better to be in line with God's word. That's why we study, so that we don't make those kind of mistakes, thinking that God's telling us something that he isn't telling us. No.
Right.
So you,
well, Nicholas, I admire what you do, and you know where you've come to, and what the things you've had to do or sacrifice to get there. And I'm trying to get there too, and I appreciate your ministry. Are we live right now? I didn't hear the whole program, the whole show. I remembered that you were. I wanted to talk to you because I remembered your. You know, you. I think every Wednesday you're still live.
Okay. Yeah, Voyager. Well, remember this. Speaking for myself, I've never sacrificed anything that I'm not already going to lose. So when you put it in that perspective, there's no sacrifice because you're going to lose it anyway. And,
I just flipped over the... I'm sorry.
Keep our eye on the prize, man, and it's not on this side of the grave. It's in the resurrection.
Well, I just want to... You know, I tuned in a little late and on my cell phone at the time. I'm not on my cell phone now. I was making lunch, and you know, I do see from the chat room that we are being broadcast... I actually thought the show might have been over, but came back from commercial. And I just have to say, you know, I appreciate the way you handled that person who was kind of giving you a hard time, being very gracious about it, and also keeping your boundaries. And but at the same time, I just want to encourage you, Nicholas. You know, there's been people before when I've popped in the chat room. There, some people troll you. I'm sure you're familiar with that term.
Yeah.
You know, they're just making you expend your energy and go in directions that are just breaking your focus. And
hey, I'm going into my break, Voyager.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I guess you'll have to come back from the break to see what we're going to talk about next. Don't go anywhere.
The Book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Well, had no idea where the broadcast today was going, but here we are. I want to thank Voyager for the call. I do recognize his voice, but I don't remember who he is exactly. But yes, I understand what he's talking about. Some good comments in the chat room here. Let's see, where was that at? Past the popularity. WW says, the hardest part, Voyager, is you yourself believing it. If the cops can see that it's truly your belief, it's easier, but you are going to have tribulation the first couple times you encounter a copper. You don't have to convert the officer of your belief. You have to convince the officer that you're actually going to fight to the end and make it troublesome for him. Well, that's why I have the document, because I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to fight with the cop or convince him, but I want him to see the legal document, because they invariably, I mean, they always call their what do you call it? What do you call the head guy over the cops out there? Their officer of the day or whatever. They always call their commanding officer, I guess that would be it, to talk to them, or they get in touch with their legal department. And once they do that, they're done with you, okay? Because you got better heads thinking, and they're thinking, we don't want to get tangled up in this. They read the legal document, you know, because that's why I have it formatted as a legal document. It's the first volley in a legal battle that I would like to fight if I have to, but I don't necessarily want to because I hate courts. Yeah, anyway, and it would get, whatever would get thrown out of court because they don't want to set any precedents, if you get what I mean. So, I like Corporate put in the chat room, Matthew 5:25, agree with thine adversary quickly. And yes, this is one that I apply in this situation. While you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer to be cast into prison. So there it is. Always agree with your adversary quickly. Come into an agreement quickly. Whatever it takes. to come into an agreement quickly. Even when they towed the vehicle I was traveling in, always kind, it was always courteous, there was never any tension, never any adversity, and it never came to a volley of words or anything like that, because I wouldn't let it go there, you know? I would stand for my position, I would state my position clearly, but in such a way that it was, you know, not threatening and not dominating or anything like that. I mean, you just have to walk in the Spirit and, you know, let the Spirit be your guide in these situations when you're dealing with the authority. Now, I'm thinking there's a day going to come, you know, when things are not going to go my way, that, you know, because I see the way it's going, and I've seen history. I've read plenty of history. I've we're republishing the Horae Apocalypticae in what I'm calling the quincentennial edition because of the 500th year anniversary of the Reformation, and I'm updating it. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of history because that's what it is. It's church history written in advance, and our good friend E.B. Eliot, he went through history and he read everything he could from all of the historians and whatever documents he could to verify and match up the history with the revelation. And so we had this wonderful document. And so we have a lot of history, but I can see how history can turn. And I see how it will turn, and it is turning, because it's all foretold. We have these three frog-like spirits. That means that being frog-like would make them loquacious. I mean, as a matter of fact, reading in the history, that was one of the emblems of the Greeks or somebody back then. I forget exactly what one of the emblems of the people, but they had a frog as an emblem, you know, for that nation. But it meant that the person, it was on somebody's tombstone or something, and it meant that they were a talker. they were loquacious. And you know how frogs are. They never shut up. In France, you know, the rich people used to have their servants go out and beat the bushes around their chateaus or whatever, just to shut the darn frogs up, man, because they were so loquacious. So we have these three frog-like spirits, and they don't shut up. That's why evil wins. I was talking about that a little bit earlier. Evil doesn't give up. It took them over 100 years. Evil is very patient. Why? Because Satan is not going anywhere. He's not going to die soon. And he always has willing servants in the world. As a matter of fact, most of the world is already his, and most of the souls on earth are already doing his will. So he's not in a hurry. If it takes him 100 years to accomplish something, fine. You know, he's going to accomplish it. That's evil never gives up. And so that's what we can expect. We're not going to turn America around. We're going to follow the course set for America in God's Word. See, because when God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, when he created it all, he created it from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created it from the beginning to the end. He already sees it all. To him, it already all exists, all of time. All of matter, all of everything from the beginning to the end of time already exists. He already sees it. He already knows it. Says what, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. So he controls it from beginning to end. And he said that most people will die for their own sins. Basically, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but that's the gist of it. Most people will choose to die for their own sins. They don't want a Savior. Yeah. You know, I do. I don't want to pay the price for my own sins. That's too steep for me. I don't have the funding. I don't have enough in my account to pay for it and escape death. Because paying for it's one thing. Yeah, well, I have a life. And death is the price. Well, I could die, but if I can't escape death, then I'm nothing, man. I got nothing. And that's why It's like I was telling Voyager in the call there that I haven't sacrificed anything that I'm not already going to lose. So what do I have? You know, the only thing that I get to keep is my own soul and you, if you're with me, if we're together in God's kingdom. And anyone I can bring with me, I get to keep them too. And whatever I invest in His kingdom is waiting for me. You know, and that's the way I think about it. You know, when I give to some other ministries on a regular basis, and I think, man, this ministry is a great investment. This is where I want to put my kingdom account money. Because I think that this ministry here is going to, you know, pay off for God's kingdom. They're not taking anything from the government. They're preaching the word or whatever. Or, you know, there's a couple more out there. They're pulling people out of the pit of hell, rescuing people from, there's one out there. What's it called? I forget. Anyway, I don't really keep track of even where I give, basically, but there's a track there. But that's where you want to invest, where it's going to do some good. Like, I'd never give to these ministries like John Hagee Ministries and things like that, because they're preaching lies. And I don't think that's a good investment. And I'm not going to give to the Girl Scouts or the whatever, you know. I want to make sure that they're doing at least as right as I may. And I might even be deceived. But God knows my heart, and He knows that the reason that I'm giving to this or that ministry that I'm supporting. So that's where we need to invest. Like I said, I'm not sacrificing anything. As a matter of fact, if I sacrifice my labor in my time, like giving money to other ministries, I'm gaining, because that's money that's going beyond the grave. It's going to yield results in God's kingdom. Yeah, so that's where we need to keep our eyes fixed on the prize, and that prize is eternal life. And if you lose that, you lose everything. If you don't gain that, you gain nothing. As a matter of fact, it's even worse than that. If you pay the price for your own sins and you get trapped in death, with no escape forever. I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, I'm not a cessation. Well, it's not a cessation. It's a annihilationist or whatever they call it, where you die and you're dead and God destroys all the wicked so that they don't even exist. I don't know anything about that. All I know is what God's word says. And I know that Jesus clearly laid out punishments and degrees of punishment in hell. And that scares me, you know. That puts the fear of God in me. Talking about preaching the gospel. Oh, yeah. If that don't scare you, then nothing will. Because that goes on forever. I need to escape that. You know, praise God. Hallelujah that, you know, God sent His only Son to make a way for me to escape death. And it's the only way that, you know, there is no other way. I haven't found it. Anyone else out there offering an escape from death and punishment and hell? Because I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. And I know I don't want to pay the price for that. I don't mind paying the price in this life, you know, of being chastised and being conformed to the image of God's only Son. I don't mind that. I don't like it sometimes. It's very uncomfortable. But I'm glad for it, because it means I'm not a bastard. Okay? As the scripture says, you know, that God chastises every son whom He receives. And that's how we know that we're His. Because He uses that chastisement to help us change our mind, that is truly repent. And then when we change our mind, it changes our lives. And we are conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God, that perfecting work of the Holy Spirit is taking place in our lives. Then we have assurance of our salvation. If you don't see that perfecting work going on, if you don't see that change of mind and the works that follow it, then you need to get down on your knees and say, God, I need to see it. I need evidence. I need to know for sure that I am yours. Otherwise, I lose everything and I gain nothing. And it's worse than that. It's death and punishment forever, as far as I know. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a little Bible preaching there for you. A little hellfire and brimstone. How about that? Yeah, didn't think I had it in me, huh? Okay, let's see. Uh-huh. Yes, they always want paperwork, yes. And if you're interested in that paperwork, in the right-hand column of the chat room, or you can go to crosstheborder.org, or press on that button that says visit crosstheborder.org. And let's see, if you scroll down, I think it's in the left-hand column, scroll down, it says National ID Cards, Your Papers, Please. And there's a picture of a couple of Nazis harassing someone for paperwork. If you click on that, it'll take you to my one-page document. But like I said, I made it 2 pages and double-spaced it. And, made it, and I put on the end of it, and I think the PDF might show the actual document. Yes, if you click on the PDF link there at the bottom of that page, you'll see it's double-spaced, and there is a declaration at the end. It's signed under penalty of perjury, so it becomes a legal document when you put the Roman date and sign it. You notice Roman date there, because And where I signed the first one, my declaration, or my notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance, I want to sign that with a date from creation. And then I signed the acknowledgement, the penalty of perjury thing. I signed that with the Roman date at the end, because that's for them, you know. Because I state all their laws for them, but I state God's law for them too. Because I think what happens more than anything is they become convicted and maybe a little frightened when we start talking about the mark of the beast and stuff. Because some of them are Christians, yeah. And I think that, but they never say that. But they seem to, because I get that idea from most of the police that stop me, that there's a spiritual thing going on there, though we don't discuss it. I let the paperwork do my discussion for me. Yeah, anyway, I can put that on the screen. Let me show you that on the screen here. Desktop, there it is. And yeah. So you can see that there, but whoops, well, that went away. That's something else. But anyway, you can see my notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance. That makes it a religious document because I put in there my notification of repentance. And if Jesus forgives me, see, they can't hold it against me. But I guess if what Jesus has forgiven me of is a crime in their realm, I guess they could prosecute me anyway because they have my confession. Anyway, try not to give too much away that they could prosecute me for. But I think this may become unlawful just to have this stand in the future. So sometime between now and 2055, when the 7th millennium begins, I may get put in jail. And you know what, they can always find some crime to railroad me on. There's not a problem there. I'm sure that I'm in violation of some federal nonsense somewhere. I mean, we all are actually. They can prosecute anyone they want, anytime they want. They can find something to prosecute you on that you've done wrong. And we all know this is true. So it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not going to be afraid. Sometimes I feel afraid, but, you know, I'm not going to be a coward. I'll put it that way. I am going to be afraid. I'm afraid a lot. But a coward is the one who allows his fear to keep him from doing what is righteous and what is true. So I'm not going to be a coward, because there's no cowards in the kingdom of God. Yes, all the cowards will be without the kingdom. And you get that directly from the scripture. You can look it up for yourself. Just look up the word coward or cowards in your eSort or whatever your search Bible search software is, and you'll find that cowards are outside or without the kingdom of God in the language from the King James Version. So, yes, I'm afraid a lot, man, but I can't allow fear to and when I travel, you know, I pray, man, you know. I pray for the police, and I pray for myself, and I pray for the other drivers out there. You know, someone does me wrong, cuts me off, treats me badly, I pray for them. You know, that'll teach them. So now I got the Holy Spirit on the case, and God's looking in on their stuff, right? Sometimes the worst thing you can do for someone who treats you roughly is pray for them. Well, that'll teach them. There you go. And you know, I have respect for the police. I wouldn't want to do their job, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't. And I think that comes through in my demeanor and my my discourse with them. So anyway, get a copy of that travel document, read it, pray about it, and maybe we can talk about it later. This is something probably maybe I need to do a newer series on this, but right now I'm really bogged down. Bogged down? Yes, it is. It is bogging me down a bit with publishing the quincentennial edition of the Hori Apocalypticae. I am up to, right now, the last chapter on Volume 3, and I still have to go through the appendices of Volume 3, but I think I'm going to have it published by July 1st. Yeah, I need another month with it. It's taking a lot of work. Volume 3 is I've had to do a lot more work on updating, because it has to do with things that have happened since E.B. Elliott published it. So that means updating and bringing it up to date in a fashion that I hope E.B. Elliott would approve of if he were here today. So, and then Volume 4, yes, hoping my target was to have it all done and published by August. That might be doable by the end of August. Yeah, might be doable. Because I still have one supplement, and that is, what is the supplement called? It's called the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, which I took out of the appendix of Volume 4. Because Volume 4 is like, I don't know, 800 pages. And History of Apocalyptic Interpretation is like 250 pages alone. So if I take it out, it'll be down to the same size as the other ones, but because it's a good standalone document by itself, the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. Started to go through that on the air, but I kind of quit because nobody seemed interested in it. And I still might do it later. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about going through the whole Jorge Apocalypticae in half-hour segments. It might take a couple years. Who wants to go on that journey with me? Well, let me know if anyone's interested in that. Maybe if someone in the chat room might even have something to say about that right now. Should I go through the entire Hori Apocalypticae? Yeah. You like that, WW, huh? Pray for him. That'll teach him. Get back at him. This looks like God take care of him. Yeah, he's much meaner than I am. It's a frightening thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. What's that? Yeah, that's how it goes. Something like that. In the hands of an angry God. That'll teach them. But hopefully they'll repent. I mean, that's really where you want them to get, is to the place where maybe they're frightened by God, and maybe they'll repent when they think about the disposition of their soul forever. That's where the gospel takes them. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. And I want to thank Voyager for calling in. And actually, my friend Richard used to use Voyager, and I haven't seen him in a while. I kind of miss you, Richard, if you're listening. Yes. Carrie Ann says, I think a playlist of hour-long segments for the Hoary Apocalyptica. Yeah, it's not conducive to chat room conversations. Well, you can't read a book and do chat room conversations at the same time, but good to listen to. That's what I was thinking about doing it separately. I'm trying to rethink how I could do this more effectively. And it'd be nice if I had a producer in here, but that's great help was having James here for a while. Learned a lot from that. Michael was really a great help. And I miss Michael, and I know he's listening, or if he's not listening now, he'll be listening later to the broadcast on the Prophecy Reality app, and I hope everyone has that on their devices so you can listen at any time. Okay, well, that's it. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk in His kingdom day by day on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.